are back. We have another episode of You Would Think, the Philadelphia Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me, as always, Mike Giletto.
What's up? What's up?
What up? How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
So has it sunk in yet that the Eagles are in the Super Bowl?
No, it has not.
Okay. Well, I mean, you better get used to it because in 6 days at the time of recording, the Eagles will be playing in Minnesota for the Super Bowl.
Six more days.
6 days.
That's it.
6 days, yep. Man. But it's an exciting time to be a Philadelphia sports fan. The entire city is alive. And I just want you to know that the Go Birds kid is my absolute hero.
It's funny, ain't it?
Go Birds! Listen, Minnesota fans, if you're listening to this, you need to learn. Just deal with it. You came into Philly. You came into our house. You're going to have to deal with it. You really did. Like, how dare you hang a Minnesota jersey on the Rocky statue?
Did you hear Chris Maragos tried to have reservations to a restaurant, and they just said no?
Really?
Yeah, so some restaurant in Minnesota. They didn't take them. They're like, no, you're a Philadelphia Eagle. You're not getting in here.
Stay classy, Minnesota.
Yep. They're still butthurt.
Yep. Anyway, we're going to talk about the Eagles towards the end of the show today, actually. We're going to mix it up a little bit. Save the good stuff for the end. We're going to have a full in-depth Super Bowl preview capped off by our predictions. We're actually going to start with some Flyers news. Flyers have had a good couple games recently. They've looked pretty good.
Aside from that Tampa Bay loss.
Yeah, well, you know.
But you're playing the best team in the league, so.
When you win four straight and seven out of your last eight, you're due for a clunker. And it's a shame that it happened as the last game right before the All-Star break and also against a very good Tampa Bay team. But Tampa Bay really punished them for a poor game.
Yeah, can we just talk about how on fire Travis Konecny's playing?
He's insane. Dude, like, people clamored for a while for Travis Konecny to see ice time in OT.
Because that's the type of player he is.
Yep, he's wide open, he's speedy, he knows what he's doing. He's skilled athletically, he can move the puck and he can put it away. And he showed that with two straight overtime winners last week.
Yeah.
Hey, man. What more do you want out of your, you know, newly minted first line right winger?
He's playing well on that line.
That line is clicking.
Yeah, they are.
And speaking of Flyers line news, there was a report out of practice this morning that Nolan Patrick was playing on the second line with Wayne Simmonds and Jake Voracek. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I like it. He's obviously turning some heads.
He's better than Val Filppula.
Well, yeah. It's not a high bar to set there.
No, it's not.
But, I like the way he's been playing. He looks more confident. His legs are starting to get under him a little bit. I think it's a good move. Give him a little more ice time. Maybe give him a larger role. Because, like, essentially, in the next, you know, 2-3 years when Giroux starts, you know, fizzling a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, he might have to jump into that 1C role.
Think about our top two centers for the next 3 or 4 years as Sean Couturier and Nolan Patrick. That sounds exciting. That's exciting. And Claude looks revitalized playing on the wing.
He does.
This move might have added 2 or 3 quality years to his prime.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he is getting a little bit older. He's starting to come towards the downside of the prime. And if this is the kind of move that puts a spring in his step and gets his production back up to where it was a couple years ago, when he finished third in voting for the Hart, that's not a bad thing.
I mean, he's probably the MVP of the team right now.
I think that's hard to say because it really has been such a team effort. A lot of players are playing well.
Yep.
You know, it's hard to call him the MVP when Jake Voracek's leading the league in assists or close to the top of the lead. I don't know if he's still literally
first
place.
Yeah, he had it. I don't know if he still does.
So, I take MVP very seriously that it really means most valuable, and if two players on a team are most valuable, then neither of them's most valuable.
That's fair. I didn't say the league. I just said the team. I think he's probably, at this point, the glue that holds everything together.
I think that's fair, and I think that's what you want out of your captain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So, and you know, he has taken this move to the wing with such grace.
Yeah.
Not a single negative word.
No, and you mentioned the whole captain thing. I mean, after last season, I think people were clamoring for him to get that stripped.
People were clamoring for him to get traded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of people who, when is Claude going to go? When is Claude going to go? And he's proven the haters wrong.
Yeah.
He's having pretty close to a career year. He looks like 2012, 2013, 2014 Claude all over again.
Yeah. Oh, if he keeps this pace up, he'll shatter his career highs.
Yep. And Sean Couturier has already shattered his career high. So that top line looks really, really good right now. And yeah. Coming out of the All-Star break, I'm really excited to see where this team is going to go between now and April.
Yeah. Speaking of the All-Star game, did you catch any of that?
I caught bits and pieces. I actually need to go back and watch a skills competition because that's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun. The one thing that they took out, though, which is weird, is the end of the shootout where they do all the fun, fancy stuff, and they took all that out.
The shootout relay?
Yeah.
Or whatever it's called?
Yeah, they took it all out.
I wonder if they were worried about it getting a little ridiculous.
Maybe. Well, it has in the past.
Yeah.
But they added some interesting skills.
Okay.
Some passing and some stick handling drills where you had to like put the puck on your stick, flip it up into a hole, and it was fun to watch.
Okay. I kind of like that, and I kind of like a little bit more of a focus on the technical aspect of playing the game rather than, you know, PK Subban dressing up like Jaromir Jagr, which was a fun moment.
Right.
But like,
or Patrick Kane dressing up as Superman.
Right. Yeah. Let's not talk about Patrick Kane. We're going to try our best to keep, you would think, a Patrick Kane free zone, but, you know.
He's a stud.
He's a piece of garbage.
Allegedly.
No. No. Regardless of what allegedly did or did not happen, he's still a piece of garbage.
Allegedly.
No. Okay. Allegedly a rapist. Definitely garbage.
He's sketchy. I guess we could say that, right? He's sketchy, to say the least.
He also looks a lot like Dale Weiss, if you think about it.
Hell of a lot more talented.
They both have the mullet with the receding hairline.
Who would you rather have, Patrick Kane or Dale Weiss?
Dale Weiss.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Sure. Fair enough. You guys can yell at me for
that
one.
You're an idiot.
Ted Brown, you can yell at me for that one. But anyway, the All-Star game ended up with the Pacific meeting the Atlantic in the finals.
Which I kind of could have saw that.
I mean, that's what happened, so you did say it.
No, but like beforehand, I could have saw it going that way.
It's hard to pick against the Metro, though.
Yeah.
Like when you just have Crosby and Malkin and Ovechkin and Giroux, like it's just hard. It's a hard team to pick against.
No, I hear you, but the Atlantic with those four guys from Tampa. Phew, I mean,
yeah.
The Tampa's insane.
Tampa,
they just have
represent.
Speed up and down their lineup. Same with the Pacific. Yep. Pacific was all speed.
Yep.
And that's what you need on 3-on-3, so. But the Metro kept it interesting in their game.
Yeah.
I mean, it
was
a close game.
And we talked a little bit about the power ranking of the All-Star games last week. And I think the NHL really reminded us that they have the best one.
Did you catch the Pro Bowl by any chance? It was only a half hour before the All-Star game.
I did not, and I'm completely okay with that.
I'm going to be honest. I watched the first quarter just to kill time before the All-Star game.
I'm
the
sorry.
NHL All-Star game. It was
bad. You have my sincere apologies.
Except there was one player. I forget who it was. I think the player on the Vikings drilled a running back early on, and people got up like, yo, what the hell are you doing?
Right. I'm surprised he played. A lot of times the teams in the conference championship don't play.
Oh, no, they had a lot of guys.
Really?
Yeah, they had a lot of guys.
Huh.
Like five or six.
Well, they got nothing else to play for. So.
Exactly.
They got to give their fans something to complain about.
Right.
But, you know, regardless, the Pro Bowl is atrocious.
Yeah, and it was bad.
Now that I've thought about it for a week, I really do kind of like your idea of making it a 7-on-7 flag game.
Flag football. That's
yeah. It. Just, and you don't expect much. Just playground, right. Flag football, play to 21, or, you know, whatever. And they're never going to change the timing format. Like they might make it a 7-on-7. They might make it flag, but they're never going to change the timing because then the game just ends.
Right.
And they need to get their 4.5 hours worth of commercials out of it.
Right. It's all about money.
Money with the NFL.
I have good ideas. Goodell just needs to call me.
There's a first time for everything.
Exactly.
But so it was a big weekend. A couple of All-Star games. We got. The Eagles coming up, obviously, in the Super Bowl and the biggest game that, you know, this city has seen in over a decade. But there was a quick little news story that came out this week. Former Philly Jim Thome is going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
It's hard to call him a Philly.
I said former Philly.
No, I get you. I think he played here for...
Now,
three or four years.
I believe in the MLB, you go in associated with a team.
He's probably going to be a Cleveland Indian.
And he's absolutely going to be a Cleveland Indian.
Speaking of, they're getting rid of their Indian.
That's
Chief Wahoo logo.
Yeah, that's almost irrelevant. I mean, they were phasing it out anyway because it can be considered offensive. So
I guess, but I have his stats up right here.
Jim Tomey?
Yeah.
All right, hit me.
612 home runs.
Wow. That's
pretty good.
And as far as I know, no allegation of steroid use ever.
No, and the class guy, one of the nicest guys to probably ever play the game.
I wonder where he falls on the clean home run list.
All right.
Like if you take out the you know.
It's probably a short list.
No kidding.
Batting average was .276, which isn't great, but he's a power
slugger.
Guy. Yeah.
He's a slugger. David Ortiz doesn't have a great lifetime average
slugging
either.
Percentage of .554.
Phew. Wow, so I think, powerful.
Yeah, I think he's a surefire Hall of Famer.
I'm as proven by his
6-12
getting voted in.
Right? No, I'm just right.
He's literally a surefire Hall of Famer because they've already announced that he's going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no, but I think it's 100% deserving.
I agree, and he was here for a couple years, and he helped the Phillies win a lot of games.
Yeah, he was here for 3 years.
Okay, how many home runs did he hit in those 3 years?
All right, let's see. So in 2003, he had 47.
Wow.
47 home runs.
And I think that was the last, was that the last year in the vet?
03, it's probably right around there.
Yeah, it was either the last year in the vet or like the first year or two of Citizens Bank Park. But it was not easy to hit home runs in the vet.
No.
And so if that wasn't the vet, I would be surprised.
42 in 04.
Okay.
And then his last year here, only played in 59 games, hit 7 home runs.
Okay, that's not bad. You know, by my quick math, that's 96 home runs in a Phillies jersey, which is nothing to scoff at.
No, not at all.
No, and that last year, if you remember, that was the year they transitioned him into more of a platoon role in favor of Ryan Howard.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So, which is fair. And again, you know, we're talking about players accepting their role with grace. And he absolutely did. He's never had anything but great things to say about this city and the fans. And we just wanted to throw out a little congratulations, Jim. You deserve it.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the best sluggers of our lifetime.
Yeah.
So
it's hard to bet against that.
Yeah, and again, if you're talking clean, he's definitely one of the best sluggers of our lifetime. So, you know, Flyers. Anyway, getting back to the Flyers.
Yeah, I just pulled up their schedule. You got a couple of big games coming up.
Yeah, Washington on Wednesday.
Yep.
New Jersey in New Jersey on Thursday.
Both of those games are away.
Yep. That's two big games right there.
Absolutely.
And then
back-to-backs.
And then you got Ottawa at home on Saturday, which is probably an easy game. Ottawa's kind of a dumpster fire.
Yeah, they are at this point, which makes that Duchesne trade really
so
interesting.
Bad.
Yeah.
Dude, it looks atrocious.
Yeah, for what you gave up for Duchesne when you were trying to gear up for a run.
Is it too early to call this the worst trade in the last decade in the NHL?
I don't know if it's too... I don't know. It's hard to say.
Right, like we obviously won't know for a couple of years when all the pieces and picks shake out. But, man, right now it looks bad.
Yeah.
It looks really, really bad for Ottawa.
And it makes me wonder because as soon as they traded Duchesne... What has Colorado done in the last...
They've won like nine
it's
straight.
Insane. It's insane. So what's with this Duchesne guy?
You know, we talk all the time about locker room chemistry. And it was very publicly clear that Duchesne wanted out. And they gave him his wish. He got out. And they lit it up. They went on the tear.
Yeah.
You know, 3 weeks ago, Colorado was dead in the water. And, you know, I'm not sure if they're fighting for a playoff spot right now.
Right now, they currently hold a second wild card spot.
Wow.
They scratched and clawed their way back.
And that's off the strength of like 8 or 9 wins in a row, man. Yeah. Three weeks ago, they were dead in the water.
Yeah. Landeskog and MacKinnon are playing their asses off.
Yeah. And you know, obviously you have to catch teams, you know, especially in the West, which is pretty good this year. But they are absolutely doing it, and I want to give Colorado a lot of credit. It's tough to trade a player who demands a trade, and I think they showed an incredible amount of patience because it took them like a year and a half.
They got a ton for him,
and they got a huge return. I was just about to say,
yeah.
and they didn't settle for the first trade that came across, because I'm sure a lot of teams called and threw in, you know, threw their name in the ring, but they waited until they got the massive offer and they took it, and it seems to be paying off in the short term. And you can't imagine it's going to pay off poorly in the long term, because they didn't give anything else up from the current team.
Right.
Like, they didn't make their current team worse, unless you consider moving Matt Duchene worse. And it's proving that that's not really the case.
Right. Which everybody thought as soon as you trade Duchene, oh, you're in the tank.
Right.
But no, they just went out and won 10 games in a row and now are in a playoff spot.
So. Yeah, and we don't see... We don't see Colorado a lot over here because they're in the West, and, you know, we only play them twice a year, but it's a scary team. And, you know, the thing is, their core is young and they have a chance at being good for several years, and the Flyers could eventually run into them late in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is something we're going to have to worry about. Landeskog's been a captain for a long time.
And he's only 25.
I know, he's my age.
Yeah.
He's been a captain since he was 19 or 20. He had the youngest captaincy thing until McDavid took it from him. And
they still have Nathan MacKinnon, who's 22.
Yeah.
They still have Mikko Rantanen, who's a rookie at 19 or 20.
Who looks like he's going to be really good. Yep. Yeah, that team, man, they kind of resemble the Flyers, except... Their depth is on offense, and the Flyers' depth is on defense.
Yeah, they do struggle with defense, and I think that was a big move for making, or the big reason they made the Duchene trade is that they ended up getting a piece back named Samuel Girard. He's a really young, good, promising defensive prospect, and he's been playing the whole year in Colorado for their NHL team. So he looks like he's going to be a stud. So, I mean, we'll see how that pans out. I mean, it's probably too early to tell how that trade's going to look out. But
again, you won't know who really won that trade for 3 or 4 years. But right now, the preliminary pick says Colorado won on a landslide.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so, you know, the Flyers. Anyway, back to the Flyers.
Yeah.
we got off on that tangent on Ottawa. But
a little bit.
We warned you guys pretty early into episode one that we're buddies and we go on tangents and we talk about hockey all the time. So... You know, we figured why not let you guys listen in. But Flyers play Ottawa on Saturday. That should be an easy win because Ottawa's...
No game's an easy win.
No, you're right. And especially the way the Flyers play. Sometimes they play down to the level of their competition.
They do.
And that's another reason that Tampa loss was a bit of a shocker, because usually when they play against the really good teams, they, you know, they play up to that level and skate with them. But I was actually at that game against Tampa, and the Flyers played an all right first period, and then in the second period the wheels fell off.
Yeah, turns out that Tampa team can score.
Yeah,
put the puck in the net.
Huh? Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, they can score, Mike,
and Braden Point.
Oof, man, what a concept!
They're not, you know, first in the league for nothing, right?
No kidding. Well, first in the league, depending on if Vegas won tonight or not.
They didn't play tonight.
Oh, yeah, no.
Starts tomorrow, the game.
Oh, so they did have the lead going into the All-Star break?
Yes, they did.
Okay, because I know them and Vegas have been swapping
Vegas,
it, like,
I think, was two,
like,
points
mad.
2 points back, I think. Okay. Tampa, I think Vegas was.
Yeah, and that... Can we just talk about that Vegas team for a second?
Oh, they're fun.
Where did
watch.
They come from?
I know, it's great. I love it.
Look, I want to be mad about it, because, like, how are they that good, you know, this early? But I can't.
No.
It's so hard to be mad
it's
at.
So fun to watch, though. I mean, you have guys like Jonathan Marchessault, who's playing his ass off. Just got a brand new, you know, $5 or $6 million contract.
You know who feels dumb right now?
Who's that?
Columbus. They traded Vegas a first round pick so that they would take William Karlsson.
Yeah.
How's that trade look?
Yeah.
You want to talk about worst trades?
Right.
Hey, here, take this first round pick and also take this guy who's going to be top five on your team in scoring. Here you go. Here you go. Take them. We don't want them. Take them. Columbus. Yeah. Come on, guys. Listen. And then
James Neal's playing great.
The real deal, James Neal.
Yeah. So, and then they have Fleury back there. And they're just fun. They're just fun to watch. Yeah. I'm rooting for them.
I really want to hate James Neal, because once a Penguin, always a Penguin.
And he was a scummy Penguin, too. I think he's a lot more clean now, and he's playing different, and he's just playing fun.
Yeah. He definitely, at least against the Flyers, He definitely embraced the rivalry.
Sure.
And like I can't really fault him for it.
No.
But that being said, he was a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
And it's really hard.
I mean, do you have that same opinion for Max Talbot? He was a Penguin, but then he came here. I mean, what's your take there?
I don't necessarily think he was a dirty Penguin though. He kind of, okay.
He's a scrappy Penguin.
Right, but he hit a weird cross section where you hate the top tier scorers. You hate the Crosby and the Malkin because they beat you. And then you hate the scummy guys, you know, the Aaron Asham when he went there. And
I hate Aaron Asham.
You didn't hate him when he was here?
Yes, I did. I hated him here, and I hated him even more there.
Listen, I don't know if your dad listened to this show, but if he listens to this, you, Mike Sr., you text me and tell me if he always hated Aaron Asham.
Always hated Aaron Asham.
You have my phone number. You text me.
And then I hated him even more after what he did to Braden Shen in that game. He like cross-checked him in the head, punched him in the face while he was down. It was brutal.
Yeah, no.
He's a scummy person.
That rivalry was a lot of fun in that 2012.
Oh, sure.
That 2012 season.
Yeah.
Where you see him two times at the end of the regular season and then in the first round of the playoffs. You know,
those were the days.
Yeah, where Lavi's up on the bench coming across at Dan Bylsma.
Dan Bylsma, man. What a coach.
Oh, I think he was the assistant for that team.
No, I don't think so. I think he was the head coach, wasn't he? I could be wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And he wasn't going at Bylsma. He was going at Tony. I can see the guy's weaselly little face. He was kind of short, bald, glasses. Something Italian, and I can't think of it.
Tony Granato,
yeah. See, we got there.
There you go.
But he was going at Tony Granato.
Yeah.
Bylsma was the head coach of that team.
Yeah.
But, oh, God, that rivalry. One of these days, we're going to have to do a show on our take on the Flyers-Penguins rivalry.
That'll probably have to be a show in, like, the off-season.
Yeah, yeah, we've already, you know, I don't mind talking about this on air. You guys know by now that we focus mostly on the Eagles and Flyers. And if the Phillies are as bad as they've been over the last couple of years.
We're going to talk some Phillies, I think. But
yeah, but it's going to be hard when they have 40 losses by the end of May.
Right.
You know, if that's the road that this Phillies team goes down.
And there's going to be no football really at that time. So
right, exactly. So
things are going to get slow.
We're already coming up with ideas for what we're going to do over the summer. And you guys can definitely contribute some ideas. And you can throw them at us on Twitter at YWT Podcast. And we'll throw them in the bank for the summer when we're a little dry on news type topics. But regardless, I think it's just about time. Yep, I think it's just about time. We actually got a new segment we're going to premiere on this show. And, you know, we just talked about the fact, you know, we mostly cover the Eagles and Flyers. And we're going to cover Phillies when they become relevant. But there is one Philadelphia team that we really haven't mentioned on this show at all. And that would be the NBA's Philadelphia 76ers. So we're going to introduce our new Sixers topic. And I'll tell you the name after the topic. Mike, what did the Sixers do this week?
The Sixers went 2-1 last week. They beat Chicago and San Antonio. And they lost to OKC.
And that's 7 or 6 seconds where we talk about the Philadelphia 76ers in 7 or 6 seconds. And that's all.
How do you like that one?
God, that's going to make some people angry. I don't even care. You know what? I don't even care. I have some severe issues with the NBA. And we'll go into that maybe later if people ask about it.
Nobody's going to ask
about it.
We have like 4 listeners.
Hashtag trust the process.
Yeah. Don't do that.
All right. So.
Let's get into the main event here.
The Super Bowl. Super Bowl 52 will be played this coming Sunday, February 4th in Minnesota.
I still can't believe they're in the Super Bowl.
The Philadelphia Eagles will be taking on the New York Yankees of the NFL, also known as the New England Cheaters. I mean, Patriots.
Once a cheater, always a cheater.
Deflategate?
Right?
Spygate? Listen, I'm still mad about that 2004 Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. If you talk to people about If you talk to like the players at that time, they still feel cheated.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's, I think it's almost accepted that New England won that game because of the Spygate information.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. And but when you, like, why do we not have a three strikes and you're out program?
What are you going to do?
Fire Bill Belichick. Suspend him forever.
They won't do that.
No.
They'll never do that.
No, they won't. But, you know, if all I know is that if the officiating is questionable on Sunday in Minnesota and the New England Patriots win a tight game, the city of Philadelphia is going to riot. More so than they did after the Eagles NFC Championship.
Oh, absolutely. If they win their first Super Bowl in franchise history.
No. If they lose.
Oh, I'm sorry. If they lose.
If the officiating is tight and New England wins. If the officiating is sketchy and New England wins a tight game.
I think the officiating has been pretty solid over the postseason.
I agree. And, you know, we all heard the conspiracy theories about Patriots Vikings because of the thing that the NFL put out on Facebook and blah, blah, blah. And then the officiating in that game, I don't think there was a penalty called in the first quarter.
No, they let them play.
Right. The officiating didn't decide that game. The Eagles whipping some ass did.
So it's hard for a ref to have any sort of judgment or any sort of pull in the game when you win 38-7. it's impossible.
Yeah. And boy, did the Eagles win 38-7.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we have the matchup of a lifetime. Now, it could have been, and some would argue should have been, Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And the NFL would have had an absolute field day with that matchup.
And now you get Nick Foles
Saint
and
Nick.
Tom Brady.
Saint Nick always delivers.
Yeah.
Anyway, we roll into Minnesota on Sunday for Super Bowl 52. Now let's get a little recap. Give me some stats from both teams this year, Mike.
Okay, so it's kind of hard to really give Eagles stats because without Carson, like, he just drove the offense.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, but I mean they averaged 233 yards a game. They scored 38 touchdowns on offense. And
friendly reminder that Nick Foles threw for 352 yards and three touchdowns in the NFC Championship game.
But then moving over to the Patriots. Patriots averaged 276 per game, yards per game.
That's potent.
Yep.
That's a potent offense right there.
And that's just passing.
Right.
So were the Eagles for 32 touchdowns. So
turns out that Tom guy is pretty decent at football.
Pretty good. Well, it's not even probable anymore. Greatest of all time.
Yep.
I mean, that's who you're going against in this game. Now, you know, the greatest coach of all time and the greatest quarterback of all time.
I think there's something to be said for that. That's a conversation for a different day. But I think Joe Montana has something to say about greatest quarterback of all time.
He's one or two of all time. Okay. So that's who you're going against.
He's top three. I'll give you top three.
I mean, you're not going against any slapdick quarterback or slapdick coach.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, that's fair. And they have five rings together.
Exactly. Going for number six.
One for the thumb. Remember when that was the Steelers' big big catchphrase a couple years ago?
Yeah. But rushing yards. The Eagles averaged 132 rushing yards per game.
Wow. And then the greatest thing about this Eagles team is that their running game has been by committee.
Yeah.
It's been Ajayi. It's been Blunt. It's been Corey Clements. Like, it's been insane. And they didn't even get Ajayi till week four.
Right.
This team has really, really, really embraced the next man up mentality. And we've seen it all year. Sproles goes down, they get Ajayi. Wentz goes down, they get Foles. Every time somebody goes down on this team, somebody steps up. Jason Peters goes down, Vitae steps up. Like, this team has just... This is the most complete team I've ever seen wearing Philadelphia Eagles uniforms.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the Patriots average 118 rushing yards on the ground. And they're kind of the same thing, where they're just running back by, you know, running by committee,
yeah,
kind of thing. So,
yeah, I think a big point of interest for this game is going to be Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, the status is all kind of up in the air there.
If he plays, he's the best tight end in football.
Oh, easily. And well, he might be the best tight end of all time.
It's too early.
Sure, but he's just a dynamic player and almost impossible to cover.
Yeah, it's really difficult, but I also think that if anybody can, it's the Eagles.
Right, and as of Monday, he's still in concussion protocol. He's had limited practice over the weekend, so his status is still up in the air, but he's probably good to go.
And we all know Belichick plays mind games. I guarantee you he's listed as questionable until about an hour before kickoff.
Right.
Guarantee. They might even list him as doubtful.
Right.
Just to try to get in Doug Peterson's head, but I don't think it's going to work.
I don't either.
Doug is cool as a cucumber, yeah, man.
He's going to prepare for Gronkowski all week.
It's amazing. It took Andy 5 tries to get to the Super Bowl. Doug makes it in his first NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Talk about student versus teacher.
He's had a hell of a year. We've said it before. But
what did Andy do in the playoffs this year?
What did he do? Go ahead. Remind everybody.
He lost a 1-point heartbreaker in the first round.
To Tennessee.
To Tennessee, man.
And they had a big lead. They had like a 17-point lead that they blew.
Probably had something to do with clock management. Did his quarterback throw up in the huddle? Or?
And that was back in 04. I don't know if that's happened since.
By the way, that's something that Vegas has a line on.
Oh, the prop bets are stupid for this game.
Somebody, there's a prop bet out there on if someone throws, or if Nick Foles throws up. I'm dead serious.
Okay, when you said that there was a prop bet on, I thought you meant that they were going to mention that, but there's a prop bet that Foles is actually going to throw up.
I think it pays like 900 to 1 or something ridiculous.
Really? You know what? There's some value in that.
Right, just put $10 on it.
Right. There's some value there.
Speaking of betting,
yep.
The lines for this game shift dramatically.
What are they now? Give it to me.
So I'm not a big betting guy. Mm-hmm. You guys can tell me what this number means. On Monday... today, day of recording.
Yep.
Somebody placed a $1 million bet on the Eagles to beat the Patriots straight up with no line, no nothing attached.
He's got some confidence.
The entire line shifted from Philly plus 165 to Philadelphia plus 160.
Okay.
And the Patriots went from minus 185 to minus 180.
Interesting.
Yeah. This line has shifted. Like, every time I look at it. Did you hear the news story a couple days ago where somebody bet an absurd amount of money on the Eagles?
Yeah, I think I did hear something like this.
There were a couple of different reports. I don't know if the actual bet has been confirmed, but I heard $3 million. I heard $5 million. I heard $10 million. All on this one guy who just bet straight up on the Eagles.
Yeah.
And that's insane.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Like... maybe one day we'll get there with our fancy podcasting money, but
help us out, guys. Help us out.
Speaking of, little teaser for you, we might have some exciting news.
We're working on stuff.
We're working on some stuff behind the scenes, but we might have some exciting partnership news to share with you guys next week. If that becomes official before next week's show, we'll be sure to say it on Twitter. So you guys keep an eye on our Twitter for that.
Yeah, just follow us. I mean, we only have like 27 followers. So.
But we love all of you.
All of them?
Most of them. Anyway, so into this game, I think it really comes down to Gronkowski. Can you contain him?
I don't even know if that's all it comes down to, because like I said, you're going against Tom Brady. And after Gronk went down, I mean, they were down in that Jacksonville game when he went down, and they still came back and won.
Yeah, and I would be curious to see how Tom Brady's hand has healed.
He got the stitches removed.
Okay.
But like you said, you wouldn't be surprised if Belichick plays mind games.
Sure.
With the Gronk injury. Wouldn't be surprised if this whole hand issue was a mind game.
I mean, no, he did really have stitches. But
sure.
By the way, I'm not one to condone injury or wish injury upon anybody.
Okay, I see where this is headed.
But if there's a pile and Fletcher Cox sees the opportunity to stamp down on Tom Brady's hand, listen, I'm not against it. That's all I'm saying. You know, when you haven't won a championship since 1960,
I'm a little hungry.
I'm real hungry. A little hungry. Speaking of hungry, how nuts is Wing Bowl going to be this week? Wing Bowl's Friday.
It's going to be one giant pep rally for the Super Bowl.
Absurd. Yeah. I don't know what time the beer starts flowing officially. Officially, like through like, Wells Fargo Center
like
taps.
6 o'clock or something like that.
But it's going to be maybe going even, long maybe before that in the that. Parking lot.
Oh, absolutely. People go out there in the parking lot the night before, like Thursday night.
I might go hang out. I might go hang out and tailgate a little bit Thursday night.
It's going to be a mess.
Yeah, I live not too far from the stadiums, and I might have to go check it out.
It's just going to be one giant pep rally
for the
Super Bowl. It's
going to be insane.
I know.
And Wing Bowl, if you guys don't know what Wing Bowl is, first of all, do your research, because it is the most Philadelphia thing on the planet. Second of all, it's insane every year when the Eagles don't make the playoffs or lose in the first round. The Eagles play in a Super Bowl 60 hours later.
People are going to be hyped.
People are going to be hammered.
Yep.
Be safe driving in Philadelphia on like Friday morning.
Or just don't.
Or don't. Yeah. The correct answer is don't. If you're going to, please be very careful. You would think does not condone drinking and driving. Please use taxis or local transportation or Uber, Lyft.
We do, however, condone immature drinking. So go ahead. Have fun.
Sure. Immature, yes. Underage, no.
We've all been there.
Go Birds.
That kid was on something. That kid was on something.
I did a little bit of creeping through his Twitter feed. And,
you would.
He actually got arrested a couple hours prior, so I don't know how he got back there. But there's a video of him a couple hours earlier. Tyler Oliveri. There's a video of him a couple hours earlier getting dragged away in cuffs. So that kid's a hero.
Yeah.
That kid is a hero.
That's funny.
Man, I'd love to get him on the show.
Let's do it.
Tyler. Hey,
if anybody has any connection.
Yeah, somebody hook us up with the Go Birds kid. You know who it is. All right.
I think we're down. We're kind of in the middle of trying to wrap this thing up. We're not trying to wrap it up, but we're getting there eventually.
Yeah, we still have scores to predict.
That's where I was headed. And I kind of want to hear where you think this game is going. Unless you want me to give my prediction first.
Well, just before I throw out a final score, I do want to talk about how the Eagles need to play this game. I think they need to play with the swagger they've played with all year.
Cocky confidence.
I don't want them to play scared or intimidated or, you know, any sort of hesitance if they're up by 7 or 10.
You don't want them to have the feeling of, oh, this game's too big for us.
Right. And I don't think it will be. I don't think it'll be a problem. I think Doug Peterson has done a great job of keeping this team level-headed all year. And I think this is going to be the same team that danced on the sidelines and had some really good touchdown celebrations. And I think this is a really good team. And I think they're a good unit. There's not a ton of superstars. And I think that bodes well because you don't have to rely on a guy like Tom Brady or a guy like Gronkowski. You can rely on the whole team, and it's hard for the whole team to falter at the same time. And I think this defensive unit especially has done a really good job of lifting each other up.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to do a really good job of staying level-headed and staying in the moment. But I also think that they can't take their foot off the gas for a second. Because if you take your foot off the gas against Tom Brady, he is going to eviscerate you.
No, I mean, we've seen it before. The last Super Bowl, you know.
We saw it last week.
I was going to say last Super Bowl is Exhibit A.
Yep.
Right, where they were down 28-3.
Yeah.
Right, to the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, Atlanta.
They
sure doesn't want us talking about
this. No, took the foot off the gas.
Yeah.
Now they're still sore about it.
Yeah, okay,
they are. Then you go back to last week. Where Jacksonville had I think they were up by like 10 in like the fourth quarter. Took the foot off the gas, changed up the play calling. Tom Brady did what Tom Brady does.
And I mentioned it on last week's show. As soon as I saw that fourth quarter start, you just saw how confident Tom Brady was in the pocket. He doesn't care if you're down by one touchdown or three. He's going to lead the comeback. You really have to get in his face. You got to shake him. You got to get him uncomfortable. And if you get a lead, you got to keep pressing on the gas.
Yeah.
Like, you have to. It's as simple as that. If you let up for a second, they're going to floor it and just blow by you without even thinking about it. Because this team, you know, they tell you act like you've been there. This team doesn't have to act. They've been there.
They've been there.
They've been there.
Multiple times.
Tom Brady's
times.
Been there 5 times.
Yep.
No, more than that. 7, like something ridiculous, because they lost to the Giants both times, right?
Now, we do have two players that have been there just last year.
With the Patriots.
Yep.
Yeah.
LeGarrette Blount and Chris Long.
Yep.
So, and it's one guy on each side of the ball, so hopefully they both can bring something.
Yep.
To this game.
I guarantee you. I think Chris Long, again, I'm not in the Eagles locker room, but I would be willing to bet that Chris Long has been a leader.
Absolutely.
For this defense all year.
For sure.
And I think this week, more than anything, he knows Belichick. He went after Brady in practice all year, last year with the team. He knows. He knows what it takes. He knows what their locker room looks like right now. He's been through Super Bowl prep with them. And I'm not necessarily saying that the Eagles need to imitate what the Patriots are doing, but it gives you, you know, he knows. He knows. He's been there. He knows the things that Belichick is saying to the team. He knows the things that Brady is saying to the team. And, you know, maybe that'll work in the Eagles' favor.
Yeah, we can sure hope.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's going to come down to the leadership. And I think this team is as skilled as any team in the league, including the Patriots. It's going to come down to when the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Yeah.
And we're going to see if this team has what it takes to stick with the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's a tall task.
Oh, absolutely. And with that breakdown, and I'm going to give you my full breakdown after I hear this, but let me hear what you got.
Oh, man. I think if it's a close game, the Eagles lose. And I hate to say that.
Okay.
I think if this game ends up 27-24 or 31-27, you know, a 3-4-5-point game, I don't think the Eagles come out on top.
Yeah, but do you see this team blowing out the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl?
It doesn't have to be a blowout, but it's got to be at least 10 points.
Okay.
The Eagles don't win a 6-point game. Not that the Eagles don't win a 6-point game. Tom Brady doesn't lose a 6-point game.
Okay. You're clamoring here.
I don't really know, man. I've put a little bit of thought into this, but this is a big prediction. I'm going to say 31-17, Birds.
Okay.
And we party on Tuesday. Parade's on Tuesday, Mike.
Okay. That's
it. I'm in it. Let's go.
Let's go.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yep. Let's not sing that here.
I'm not going to sing it. I know better. just hit you with a little one.
But
I'm pumped up. I'm fired up.
Absolutely.
Let's go, Mike.
But so, like I've been saying all podcast, this is Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Okay? Arguably the greatest quarterback coach duo of all time.
It's up there, yeah. Definitely. Okay.
And then you have Nick Foles and Doug Peterson.
Who's in his second year in the NFL.
Yeah. And Foles is basically 1 year away from almost retiring, essentially, because he was so bad and couldn't find a job.
Yep.
And week one when they played the playoff round one when they played the Falcons, I said, they don't have a shot.
Okay.
They had no shot. What did they do? They found a way to win.
Yep.
Week two.
Why not us?
Week two against the Vikings, or playoff round two against the Vikings. NFC Conference Championship. I said, deep down in my mind, they don't really have a shot.
Yeah, you did.
And they proved this wrong again.
You predicted
the
Eagles lost in that game.
I did. They proved this wrong again.
I'm sorry, and what did I predict?
You predicted an Eagles win.
Oh, okay, just checking. So they proved you wrong.
This isn't my point. Yes, I think they proved us as the city wrong.
Okay, sure.
And
not
and
us as a podcast.
No. Us as a city, and really us as in a general country, essentially, of football.
They made us believe.
So now I'm sitting here thinking, all right, they're playing the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl.
The New England freaking Patriots.
Okay. And part of me thinks, that's New England. They don't have a chance to win.
Nah.
But I said that for the last two games.
Yep.
So what I'm saying here is, I'll give you the final score.
Yep. Put up or shut up, Mike. Give me a score.
24-17.
Okay. Who?
And I think the Eagles will win the first Super Bowl in franchise history.
Holy crap. There it is.
There it is.
There it
is. Fired up.
We're both predicting an Eagles win. This is the first time all postseason that we've both predicted the same result for the Eagles.
Must be meant to be. And also, I just want to say something that I said on last podcast. Eagles haven't lost a game since this podcast started.
No.
So I don't know. It's, I don't know if it's coincidence or what, but
it's fate.
Yep.
Well, all I know is that if they win, Mr. Lurie, get on the phone, get us some season tickets, man. Right. We're gonna chase the 72 Dolphins next year.
Yep.
Wow. There you have it. You would think a resounding 2-0 in favor of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Why not, man?
Why not us, man?
Why not?
The dogs are back.
Yep.
We really are the ultimate underdogs. It's amazing because we're a one seed.
I know.
Like,
but it's but as soon as Wentz went down, I mean, everybody counted them out, and now it's David versus Goliath, essentially.
It really is, man. And we thought it was David versus Goliath in 2005, or 2003, 4, or 5.
2004.
I think it was the 2004 season, the 2005 Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We thought it was David versus Goliath back then.
I mean, this is how everybody is kind of promoting this game, is Destiny versus Dynasty.
Yeah. And, like, the Patriots are already a dynasty. Us winning wouldn't take that away from them.
No.
But they're going for back-to-back.
I'm going for number six.
They're going for number six. And the Eagles are going for the first NFL championship that this city's seen since 1960.
Yep.
I hope the players don't know that, because that's a lot of pressure.
It certainly is.
Like, I'm sure they know, and I'm sure they're paying attention, but I hope they're not. I hope Doug has them in quarantine.
Right.
Because I don't want anybody saying anything about it.
Well, they're not going to be in quarantine, because you have the whole media week down there, up there, and, you know. You got Radio Row, and...
You know what I'm saying. Maybe we'll get there next year, Mike.
Yeah, maybe. Where is it next year? Are they released a spot yet? We might have to go.
I'm sure they have.
Now.
I think they have the next, like, three Super Bowls announced. But regardless, man, it's a really good time to be us. Like, we started this podcast. When we started this podcast, nobody gave the Eagles a chance. We started it right after the regular season.
It's in Atlanta. So,
okay.
Do you want to book a trip to Atlanta?
I'm taking a...
Super Bowl 53.
Oh, like a 14-hour drive? We can do that.
Something like that.
Anyway, when we started this podcast, the Eagles were dead in the water, man. It was the Nick Foles team going against a hot Atlanta team who everybody, you know, thought was going to roll us at home as a one seed. And this team has absolutely taken off.
Yeah.
Like, they squeaked by Atlanta. They absolutely blew the doors off of your number two seed, the Minnesota Vikings.
The quote-unquote best defense in the NFL. They put 38 points up against
them. Best defense. I mean, to be fair, the offense didn't put all those points up. Thank you, Patrick Robinson.
Yep.
But that was the big one, man. That killed the momentum.
That started Minnesota the whole
team,
game.
That Minnesota team was dead behind the eyes after that.
Yeah.
And then now, 5 short weeks into this podcast, we're talking about an Eagles Super Bowl berth. And a potential victory.
Yeah.
Episode number 6 of this show could be a friggin' celebration
You're
show,
You're fired
Mike.
Up there.
Yes, I'm fired up.
Because
the Eagles playing the Super Bowl in 6 days.
Yeah.
Why aren't you more fired up?
I'm fired up.
Oh, man.
It's fired up.
We gotta end this show, because I'm gonna blow a gasket here.
Yeah.
All right.
I can't imagine how you're going to react, you know, on Monday. If this thing pans out the way we all want it to.
God, I can't wait for my friend Jen's Super Bowl party. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
And I plan on leaving at halftime and going to South Philly just in case.
Just in case.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if the game looks good.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for joining us this week on You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. Yeah. As always, I'm Kyle Collington. You can find me on Twitter at K Collington, and Mike can be found there at Mike_Giletto. You can follow both of us. You can talk to us both there, and you can follow the show at YWT Podcast for updates about the show and the occasional live tweeting and sometimes some feuds, but that doesn't happen too often.
What feuds? What are you talking about?
Corsi.
Want to get into that or not now? Maybe another
absolutely
episode.
Not now, because it's less relevant than the Eagles going to the Super Bowl.
That's true. Go
it's
Birds.
It's pretty much irrelevant now that I think about it. We'll be here next week. Eagles win or Eagles loss, we will be here. Hopefully we're talking about a victory, but, you know, we'll see. You guys can talk to us on Twitter. You can follow our page on Facebook at you would think, the Philly Sports Podcast. If you search that, it should pop right up. And that's about it. Our logo was created for us by @BennyTheJet55. And I think that's it, Mike. The Eagles are in the Super Bowl, man.
I know.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Let's go, Birds.